everybody. Welcome to episode 67 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're back at the Iowa Realty office today for the first time in several weeks, and we really appreciate their hospitality. They have a nice little conference room here that we use. Well, we're going to talk a lot of golf today as the boys' high school season just came to an end last weekend. In a little while, we'll be visiting with Ankeny coach Mike Wedingfeld and one of his golfers who qualified for the state meet as an individual. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is the head coach at Ankeny Centennial, and he has guided the Jaguars to 3 state meet appearances in the 5 seasons that he has been in charge of the program. Last weekend, he guided the team to a 9th place finish in Class 4A. He is Rick Fee. Rick, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Well, your team made some adjustments after Friday's opening round when you guys shot a 337. You came back on Saturday to shoot a 331, you know, in even more difficult conditions. So overall, you were pretty happy with how the guys responded, weren't you?
Oh, definitely. As a coach, I mean, we were cold both days because we were just sitting in a cart trying to stay warm. But I felt like Friday was tougher just from a cold aspect of it. But Saturday, the wind was really gusting. So, and it was a little different. So just because they learned something from Friday, they couldn't just necessarily take that to Saturday. They had to basically learn the course all over again in some cases.
Well, considering that only one of your players had even played in a state meet before, you know, were you concerned at all before the meet about how the guys would perform on that stage?
Definitely. But the showing they had up at Sioux City in our district meet, and they showed that they could battle and they could play through tough conditions because, to be honest, I think Sioux City may have even been harder than day two at state. They proved that they could hang in there, they could bounce back from big numbers. And I had a lot of seniors on the team, so age may have been better than some playing abilities in some cases, just being able to be wiser and being able to bounce back compared to guys who were freshmen and sophomores.
Sure. Well, of course, the state meet was held at the Tournament Club of Iowa in Polk City, which is certainly a challenging course. And you mentioned the players also had to deal with some tough conditions because of the cold and windy weather. You know, I know I was out there for a little while on Friday. I can probably think of about 100 things I would rather been doing than playing golf that day.
Definitely.
You know, so the elements were definitely a factor, weren't they?
Oh, definitely.
And I know that hole number 18 especially was tough with the wind and trying to hit it uphill, right?
Yeah, it's a very difficult par 4 to start with, but you put a 30-mile-an-hour wind right in the teeth of the kids. It's playing at least 500 yards, and you can't miss right, left, long, or short. So there were definitely a lot of big numbers out there, and the field really showed that.
Well, Waukee built a 7-stroke lead in the opening round and then held on to win the team title by 1 stroke over Valley, despite shooting a 334 on Saturday. It was the 2nd straight title in the 6th in 10 years for the Warriors. Now, going into the meet, did you think that Waukee was going to be the team to beat?
Yeah, no matter what year you go into or what season it is, Waukee always has a really strong program. And to be honest with you, most of us are happy that they're going to be splitting here after next year because it's going to be kind of like what happened here in Ankeny, where you don't know where the talent's going to fall to. And I don't know what the lines are for Waukee, but it's definitely going to hurt the program in a sense because they can't have everybody going to one school. So they're obviously a great program. Coach Coates over there, he does a really good job, and the kids there have a really good work ethic. So they showcase their skills at the highest level in the best tournaments. So I give it to them for that.
Well, your team was led by Logan Kinch, who tied for 26th place as an individual. He had a 2-day total of 166. He carded an 84 on Friday and an 82 on Saturday. And I know he wasn't happy with the score that he posted at the district meet earlier in the week, but he was just a real steady performer all season, wasn't he?
Yep. He was always going to be my number 3 or 4 guy all year long. We always could depend on him on a good day if the weather was right to come in with something in the mid to low 80s. And he had a couple rounds in the 70s, so he started peaking at the right time. And from to shoot the 84 and then to come back with an 82 the following day in tougher conditions really showed that his mental game was just as sharp as his physical game that day.
Well, two of your other golfers, Drake Elgren and Johnny Sidoris, finished in a tie for 30th place with a 169 total. The rest of your team wasn't too far behind. Jack Winkle was at 171, Connor Thorpe at 174, and Adam Wagner at 176. You know, and everyone but Drake shot a lower score on Saturday than they did on Friday. So I imagine the guys were pretty satisfied afterwards, weren't they?
Yes, I think they understood that it was going to be a little warmer, even though we were starting a little earlier. But I think they just went into the day knowing it's going to be bad. The weather's going to be crappy. Just embrace that mentally, because if you go into it with a bad attitude, you're going to have a rough day no matter what because you're not fully committed to the shots you're hitting. So I think just being mentally prepared for the bad conditions helped the kids prepare for that second day.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest's premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic podcast. Whether you are looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with Ankeny Centennial Boys Golf Coach Rick Fee. And Rick, of course, you guys qualified for the state meet by placing third in the district meet last Tuesday at the Whispering Creek Golf Club in Sioux City, where you guys finished one stroke ahead of Ankeny and Sioux City East for that final qualifying spot. So you really had to sweat that one out, didn't you?
Yeah, that one came down to the final putts. Jack Winkle had to par his last hole. He got on a bad stretch of holes, but he had to come through with a solid par on his last one. And then Drake had to par out his last two holes. And I'm sure he'll talk to you a little bit about that, but he had to make some huge putts those last two and get up and down and make some saves just to give us the opportunity to play in the state tournament.
Well, Waukee and Dowling Catholic were the other teams that qualified from your district. And, of course, Ankeny had a really strong year and had beaten your team a few times during the season. So you guys definitely had your work cut out for you, you know, going into that meet. How much confidence did you have in your team that you could pull that off?
Well, I knew going into it, it was going to be a four-team race. I was assuming Bishop Heelan was going to be the next team out of the Sioux City area behind us. But I knew the four teams from the Metro that had to travel the 3 hours to play in Sioux City were going to be the top four finishers in that tournament. I just told the kids it's Waukee's probably going to be able to take this one. No one's really touched them all year. And then Dowling's a solid program that we've beat a couple times. They beat us. And then Ankeny, we tied twice and won on a fifth-man score. They beat us a couple times in 18-hole invites in our duel. So I said, in the end of the day, it doesn't matter if we're one, two, or three, as long as we can hang that banner in the gym, that's going to get us to state. But I knew that it was going to come down to basically us or Ankeny, unfortunately.
Well, of course, Sioux City East was right there in the mix, too. So were you kind of surprised that they were right there?
Yeah, it's their home course, and I know they have a couple of good golfers, and that's what makes a team is if you have one good kid, it's very easy to – and if he doesn't play well, your team's not going to be successful. But Ankeny's got three or four really good players, and the other guys, they can always depend on to come in with the score that they can take. And I had two to three really good players, and I was just hoping my other two to three guys could weather the storm, kind of escape Whispering Creek without some big numbers and come in with scores that would push us through the next level. And luckily enough, we were able to do that.
Well, I know you told me last week that your team was as high as second place and as low as sixth during the meet. So I imagine you were feeling kind of a wide range of emotions during the meet, huh?
Yeah, definitely. The scoring app that they use is different than the one we use all year long, and it updated every three to four holes. So I was watching it, and we would be in second, drop to sixth, move to fourth, and just keep going up and down. But at the very end, Ankeny, they didn't upload for seven holes. So it looked like we were out of it, but then we were finished and in, and then Ankeny was reporting seven holes at a time, and they just started creeping closer and closer to us. And in the end, it happened to be a one stroke.
Well, that day was kind of symbolic of your whole season then, because you guys certainly had some ups and downs. Your team went 2-3 in conference dual meets, but then you placed third in the Central Conference meet at Vinker and finished just five strokes behind the winner, Dowling Catholic. So do you think you guys, you know, were playing your best then at the end of the season?
Yeah, definitely. We played Vinker three times this year, and it's a tough golf course, and that's what makes Ames such a great team, because if you can get around that golf course without big numbers, you can go anywhere and you can shoot well. And I talked to the guys after Vinker when I was looking at the scores. We had that tournament for about 14 holes, and I went back over everybody's scorecard, and over the last four holes of that day, we were 17 over as a team. So if we just cut that in half, we would have won the tournament by three rather than losing by five. Now, I can't speak for the other teams because they probably had their own struggles the last four holes, but we can't control what they do. So I knew the kids started to look at things differently about we got to be able to finish and we got to get up to a good start. We got to finish strong and we can't just give up strokes those last three to four holes because that's where we're going to lose it or we're going to win it.
Well, your team will now have to replace four of the six varsity regulars because Drake, Logan, Connor, and Adam will all graduate in the spring. You know, it's going to be tough to replace that group, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Drake's had a lot of great leadership. He's been on varsity since he was a freshman, and he's one of he's the last of his brothers to come through the program, one being a full-time Hawk, one being a part-time Hawk and Jaguar, and then Drake being a full-time Jaguar. So there's kind of the end of a dynasty there. But Wagner and Thorpe and Kinch, they stepped up this year and provided a lot of senior leadership. And they showed Sidoris and Winkle what they kind of need to do and look forward to next year. But I'm happy getting my number two and arguably my number three golfer back, along with the sophomores I had on the team and then the freshmen that I have coming up for next year.
So do you feel like there are some guys, you know, kind of waiting in the wings to step into those spots?
Yeah, definitely. I was lucky enough. My assistant coach, Dean Smith, he would be upset if I didn't say his name here today. He had to go out of town for business, and I had the privilege of going and watching the ninth grade team play in an invite at Blank Golf Course hosted by Dowling, and I don't usually get to see them play a whole lot. So there were four freshmen that shot under 82 at Blank. So I feel like that's a positive, and if they continue to work and put the time in, they're all members of Briarwood, so I know they're going to be there all summer, hopefully. If they continue to progress in the right direction, I feel like we have, with the two guys coming back, adding the sophomores that we had on the team this year, and then those freshmen who are going to be sophomores next year, I think we'll have a good group of kids.
All right, Rick. Well, thanks a lot for coming today. Appreciate it. You had a good season. Congratulations, and we'll talk to you later.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Dan.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, Cool Sculpting, laser hair removal, Forever Young photofacials, Halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, my next guest was a senior co-captain on the Centennial squad. He was a two-time state qualifier for the Jaguars, and he ended his career last weekend by tying for 30th place in Class 4A. He is Drake Elgren. Drake, thanks for coming today. How you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know I messaged you on Friday after the opening round when you led your team with a 79, which put you in a tie for 12th place individually. You told me that you couldn't make any putts outside of 5 feet that day, but overall, you were pretty happy with your score in those conditions, weren't you?
Yeah, I played pretty solid all day. I was hitting the ball great, and I mean, I don't think I really made any putts outside of 5 feet, which was kind of a bummer, but yeah, I didn't have any big mistakes there. Just had one triple on 18, but had a good round top to bottom there.
We also told me that you were hoping to put up a good solid number on Saturday to have a good finish individually, but unfortunately you struggled to a 90 over the last 18 holes. You know, so what part of your game let you down the most on Saturday?
Well, I was two over through my first eight holes, so I was feeling pretty good. I birdied my first hole, so that was a good start. But then just made a nice snowman on my par three, the fifth hole. And just made a couple bad swings there and kind of just let it get to me the rest of the round.
Well, that obviously wasn't the way you wanted to finish your last round, but as you look back at your high school career, you know, getting a chance to play in two state meets, you know, you have to be pretty happy with everything that you accomplished.
Yeah, I had a great 4 years. I mean, I'm going to remember a lot of these moments the rest of my life and wouldn't want to spend it any other way. I had a lot of my buddies on the team and glad to make state meet last year.
Well, certainly one of the highlights of your career came at the district meet that we talked about with Coach Fee. You shot an 80 to tie for runner-up honors, but more importantly, you parred the last two holes to allow your team to qualify for the state meet. Now, you told me last week that was the most pressure you've ever been under on a golf course, so obviously you knew what the situation was like, you know, going into those last two holes. So did Coach tell you what was going on there?
Yeah, I mean, as Rick said, the Hawks didn't have as many holes in as we did, so we weren't really sure exactly where we were at, but Dean Smith, like Rick said, he was following me most of my last few holes there, and I knew parring the last two would be a big feat there, so... yeah, I just did best I could those last two holes and ended up making that last 8-footer to finish.
Well, you told me that you made a 25-foot putt for the first par, and then you followed with the 8-footer on the last hole. You know, so do you remember what was going through your mind on that last putt?
Yeah, well, I mean, it all really started on my second to last hole, really. I knew I needed to par the last two, and I ended up hitting my tee shot, hooked it left into the hazard there, so I was hitting three into the par four. And so I hit on the green about 20 feet and made it, and I was getting pretty hyped up on the green there with my dad and our assistant coach, Dean.
So then on that last hole, you know, you're standing over that putt for the 8-footer. I mean, that had to be some incredible pressure. you know, what were you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I knew it was a huge putt. I had to two-putt from about 50, 60 feet. So on those greens, those speed, not really used to that the whole year, I knew that was going to be a challenge. And I blew it by about 8 feet, and then I knew, you got to make this putt to send your team to state, so luckily I got it done there.
Well, I know you tore your ACL and your left knee playing basketball last February, and you had to have surgery in April. So was it like in pickup ball where you did that?
Yep, just PE class. Went up to try and dunk, probably shouldn't have done that, but I tried to do that, and then I just landed funny and just felt this huge pop, and it was just a really weird experience when that happened.
Well, no, you told me you couldn't pick up a club until the middle of July then. So did it take a while to get your swing back, or did it come back pretty quickly?
Yeah, well, I started playing July 15th, and then I basically just tried to practice and play as much as I could. Luckily, I had a couple friends, Chris Mackley, who played on the team last few years with me, and Connor Thorpe, who could get me out to Ankeny Golf and Country Club. So I played there quite a few times, actually, in the first few weeks before tryouts, so that kind of helped me get back in the swing of things. And then I was surprised I had a good round my first meet of the year, so that was a good sign for me.
Well, like Coach mentioned, your brothers, Connor and Jesse Peck, were both standout golfers in high school here as well. Jesse was part of the state championship team at Centennial, and Connor went on to play in college and professionally. Now, I know you've caddied for Connor before. Is he still playing professionally?
He's not playing anymore. He kind of gave it up a few years ago. In that business, it's really hard to, make a good living. But he's still playing once in a while, and I get to play with him here and then. But he's down in Dallas, and he's actually caddying at a course. So he's still a part of the game in a way.
Oh, okay. Well, I know you probably could have had some opportunities to play in college as well, but you've decided to attend Iowa State and not pursue a college golf career. I know you really have a passion for some other outdoor activities like hunting and fishing, so I'm sure that was part of your decision, wasn't it?
Yeah, after my sophomore year, just looking at what my brother Connor went through, it just wasn't really in my best interest, and I figured I should probably focus on my education. That'll probably help me more down the road.
Well, I know you're a big Cyclone fan. Do you think you're going to enjoy the football or the basketball games more, when you get up there?
Oh, geez. I don't know. Matt Campbell's done a pretty good job, so I'd like to say I'm going to enjoy both, but games in Jack Trice and Hilton Coliseum are always pretty fun.
Well, yeah, the football team seems to be on a roll now. I had some doubts after that Baylor loss, but now they're starting to look like a Big 12 contender, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, they're playing solid right now.
Well, as much as I enjoy those football games, I think I enjoy the basketball season even more. My wife and I are going to the Bahamas next month to watch the Cyclones in the Battle for Atlantis, so that should be a lot of fun. But do you have some high expectations for the basketball team this year?
Yeah, lost a few players to NBA, and hopefully we can just form as a team, and I've heard they're gelling pretty good over there, so hopefully we have a good season.
All right, Drake. Well, thanks a lot for coming today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. Well, my next guest is a junior on the Ankeny squad, and he helped the Hawks to the Central Conference dual meet title this season. Last weekend, he tied for 30th place in the Class 4A state meet with a 36-hole total of 169. He is Corbin Walker. Corbin, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Pretty good. How about you? Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, you shot an 88 in Friday's opening round. Were you nervous at all playing in the state meet for the first time?
Yeah, it was very nerve-wracking on the first tee because I'd never really experienced anything like it, but I thought it was really fun.
Well, you did have a strong finish on Friday playing the last two holes and two under par, and then you came back Saturday and shot an 81. So did that momentum just kind of carry over to Saturday for you?
Yeah, I was very pumped because I actually made a shot from around 90 yards and just kind of got me going to – give me something positive going into the next day.
Well, Coach Wedingfeld told me that you guys, discovered an issue with your swing late in Friday's round, and after you made some adjustments, you played better. So what exactly was the problem, and how did you correct it?
Well, just Kurt and Coach, they just watched me on the range, and they just had me basically stand taller, and it just helped a lot, and I was hitting a lot more solid.
Well, I know your goal was to finish in the top half of the field, and you accomplished that goal. Can you describe what it was like to play in the state meet, and was it what you expected?
It was definitely more nerve-wracking than I thought it would have been because I usually don't get very nervous before any normal tournament, but it was just felt a lot different than anything. There was just a different vibe than any other tournament when you're there practicing and warming up.
Well, I'm sure there's more people around, too.
Yeah, there's a lot more people.
Well, the conditions obviously were not good on either day. Do you think you could have posted some lower scores if the conditions had been better?
Definitely, I think so because I really like that course, and it's – really fun to play, I think, and I think it suits well for my game, but I just had a few bad swings that kind of didn't have the best effect on my game.
Sure. Well, I know you had a quadruple bogey on number 18 on Saturday, and because of the wind, that hole was almost unplayable, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was very difficult.
Because it's like a 500-yard course, isn't it, or a hole that
– It was – I don't know if it was playing – it was probably playing about that long with the wind. It was not an easy hole.
Well, of course, you qualified for the state meet as an individual after winning the district title on Tuesday at Sioux City. where you shot a 79 to win by one stroke. Now, was that a bittersweet day for you, though, since your team just missed qualifying by one stroke?
Yeah, it was kind of bittersweet. It felt kind of hard to celebrate because our team didn't make it, and it was kind of also tough losing to Centennial.
Sure.
And, yeah, I just wanted the whole team to make it, but it was still really cool to make it by myself.
What was the key to your success on that course?
Mine was just trying to stay positive because everybody's in the same conditions and you just can't let one factor affect you because then that can get in your head and mess up everything.
Well, your team certainly had an outstanding year. You won the conference dual meet title as well as three invitational crowns. You know, you have to be proud of everything that you guys accomplished.
Yeah, very much so. I'm glad we definitely improved from sophomore year and we still got one more year, so I think we can be very good next year.
Well, you were the runner-up at three straight meets late in the season, including the Southeast Polk Invitational at Copper Creek, where you shot a 72. Do you think that was one of your best rounds of the season?
Yeah, that or my first round of the year against Ames. And the district meet, though the score probably didn't show it, I felt that I played very well, considering the very tough conditions that it was.
Oh, for sure. Well, your team will lose senior Luke Parkinson to graduation, but like you mentioned, the rest of your lineup is going to be back for one more season. You know, do you feel like next year's team, you know, could not only qualify for state, but potentially be a state title contender?
Yeah, I think that's the goal. That's where we're trying to get to, and that's always the goal. That's what coach says. The goal is to make it to state and win it.
Well, I imagine you guys will be pretty motivated by the close call that you had at this year's district meet. You know, that's going to make you guys pretty hungry, isn't it?
Yeah, we're all definitely going to work very hard in the off season and during the season to reach our goals.
Well, Corbin, I'm guessing you'd like to play golf in college. Have you started looking at any schools yet?
No, not really. I haven't looked much into it, but yeah, I think I'll probably start looking into that more, maybe.
All right, Corbin, well, thanks a lot for coming in today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you're buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my final guest today is the head coach of the Ankeny team. He just completed his 15th season with the Hawks. He is Mike Weddingfield. Mike, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, we just talked to Corbin about his performance at the state meet. You know, what kind of expectations did you have for him going into the meet?
I think kind of the same that he had, that, you know, the top half was a great goal to have. I've been doing this for 15 years and had lots of different kids make it to the state tournament, and it's just a different experience. They play in tournaments all summer long and say, oh, I don't get nervous, or, you know, that doesn't bother me. And then they get there and there's the crowd and your school and all these people cheering for you and rooting for you. And it just puts a different pressure on them, I think. And so it's a different experience. Until you've been there, you don't understand that. So to go in there and think he's going to win it, I mean, yeah, great. But just to have him go and play well and enjoy the experience and learn and grow from that was a big goal for me, I think.
Well, after he won the district title, could you see, like, his confidence go up from that point on?
Yeah, all year long, like you said, he'd finished well some of the last meets. You know, golf is kind of crazy. You have your good days, you have your bad days. It's making those good days more than the bad. And so that confidence is great. And so I knew that he was capable of anything. It's just whether he could bring the game on that day. I knew conditions weren't going to be good, and that's a battle. We haven't played in the cold all year long. We did play in the wind at obviously districts, but that had been the first time we'd seen wind like that. And, you know, so all those things factor in a big time, especially into golf. And so just seeing how the kids respond, seeing how he would respond, I knew he's capable, but whether you're on that day or off that day or the weather throws you off, it's a lot of it's mental more than physical sometimes in the game of golf.
Sure. Well, we talked with Corbin about the adjustment, you know, that he made in his swing. So that was something that you and Kurt had noticed, not just watching them practice?
Yeah. I mean, when you watch these guys hit balls at the range and play all year long, you kind of see what works for them, what doesn't. And golf is a matter of inches, half inches, quarter inches, and the littlest variation sometimes can throw you off. And we just felt like he was getting kind of bent over or hunched over more than normal. So then he was moving his head up and down, which caused him to hit some fat shots, some thin shots. And so we just tried to make him feel like more of an athletic stance, keeping that head still, and we call it in the circle, so he's not moving up and down so much. And it seemed to work. So whatever works, that's what we go with, and hope for the best.
Well, he came back on Saturday with that 81. You know, that's certainly a strong finish to a season, wasn't it?
It was, and you know, he played great. I think he went the first 10 or 12 holes even par, just made par after par after par, and he said one point, well, this is kind of boring, and I'm like, I'll take boring 18 times, you know. And I figured he was probably going to make a bogey here or there, and he responded to that well. And like you said earlier, 18 was just a bear. I mean, it's a long hole. It's tight. It's got water all down the left side of it. I think he misclubbed on one of the holes, which is easy to do into the wind, hit one in the water, and then got a little frustration and made a bad chip. And, you know, things kind of escalated, but he bounced back and played the rest of the round well. You know, he makes bogey there instead of quadruple. He shoots 78, which is a heck of a score on that conditions of a day.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know you would have liked to have had your whole team playing in the state meet, at the district meet earlier in the week. You guys finished one stroke out of third place after a day in which, you know, all kinds of things went wrong for your squad. You know, I guess it just wasn't meant to be, was it?
It was, and that's what I told some of the kids. I said, for whatever reason, it just wasn't our day. You know, I don't know that I've, in the years I've played or watched Hunter play golf, I don't know if I've watched him go nine holes without making a par. You know, same way with Ty Roguer. And you know, after shooting 38 on the front, I thought, here goes Hunter. He's going to turn it on, and something just didn't work out on the back. And Ty struggled on the front, and lots of times he gets better, and he did. You know, none of them gave up. I don't put the blame on anybody. The whole team played as hard as they could. They didn't give up. Nobody said, the heck with it, I'm done. We just, it wasn't meant to be for whatever reason, and hopefully we'll just come back stronger next year and make up for it.
Well, it was 5 days earlier than that, of course, where you guys placed fourth in the Central Conference meet. And I remember you telling me then that, you know, you were hoping that you got the bad round, you know, out of the way before districts, but it just seemed like that bad luck must have just carried over, huh?
It did. And golf is funny that way. You know, the pros don't go out and they don't win every single tournament they play in. They play bad one day and play the best round the next day. And so sometimes it's just the mental side of it, getting over those bad shots, those bad holes, that bad round, and bouncing back. And, you know, these guys are 16, 17 years old. That's hard to do, hard to learn, and that's something we work on every year and want them to play in tournaments and learn how to do that so that when it matters for the school, you know, you make it happen. And these guys are still young, and they know that, and that's what we'll keep working towards.
Well, you mentioned the struggles that Ty and Hunter had at the district meet, but obviously a couple other kids, you know, stepped up for you, because it's amazing that you guys were really even in contention there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, for Luke and Joey, you look at their averages all year long on that type of a day, to only shoot a few strokes above that, which kept us in contention. I talked to them both during the round, and they're like, oh, I'm not playing good. I'm like, you got to hang in there. You don't realize how high the scores are going to be. I mean, they see a windy day, and they think they should all still shoot 75, but it's just not going to happen. And the scores showed that all day long. It was the highest scores in any of the districts that were out there. So for those guys to step up and hopefully learn from that you can't give up, you just have to – trust your game, keep battling every shot, shoot the best you can on every single hole, and not worry about the outcome, because, you know, golf, you can always think of, oh, I could have saved a stroke here or made a putt there or not hit one in the water there, and that happens a couple times, and we're in second place because we were only three strokes out of second,
right,
as well, so we could have easily been in second place as well as fourth.
Well, another factor for your team was a subpar round from Dylan Taylor, who was one of your most consistent players all season. He struggled to a 97 while dealing with some neck pain and a really bad headache, and he ended up going to urgent care after the round. And from talking to his dad, it sounds like he's going to be dealing with that for a while, isn't he?
Yeah, Dylan's kind of quiet, doesn't say a whole lot. I tried to ask him how he's doing, and I just did the one answer, fine, type thing. But I know he was hurting. I didn't know about that until midway towards the end of the round, truthfully. I give him credit for battling through it, playing. He didn't give up. You know, at one point when I saw him, I think it was on hole 18, which he only had a few holes left, he was laying down, waiting between shots. He was hurting. And so I know he gave it his all, and for whatever reason, I don't know if they know why he felt that way or had that problem. I know they put him on some medicine and kept him inside for a few days and off the golf course or doing anything active. But, you know, hopefully he's better. And just, again, another one of those things on a crazy day that you would never think was going to happened.
Well, your team still had a very successful season, going 5-0 in dual meets and winning three tournaments along the way. You know, this would have to be the best team that you've had since the split into two high schools, right?
It is, definitely. And, you know, I was thinking about it because, just like the kids, I was super bummed after a great season. I think we went 66-18 with all of our tournaments and duels. And so we beat a lot of those teams. And then I thought, you know, I was so mad we didn't make it to that next level. But then I looked back and thought, where were we last year? You know, how far have we come in a year? Some of these kids were lucky to break 80 on a good day. And now they're consistently shooting mid-70s, low 80s. And so I think that shows our improvement. To base the season on, hey, we didn't make it out of districts, we didn't make it to state, and say that was a bad year, I never believe that. Mm-hmm. It was a great year, great kids, we grew, we got better. You know, Corbin played all weekend in horrible weather. I was exhausted on Sunday, and he just told me he went out and played golf with Hunter and Ty on Sunday afternoon. It was still cold out. So,
oh, wow.
I mean, these are guys that they're going to go play golf, they're going to keep getting better, and I really look forward to next season. It can't get here quick enough for me.
Well, I know your program had some lean years during those first few seasons after the split. You know, it's got to feel good to have the program, you know, maybe not back to where it once was, but certainly in a lot better shape. You know, does it seem like it's taken a while to see this progress?
It does. I mean, I knew it was coming. I kind of follow these kids, you know, and see the younger kids coming up, and you hear, you know, who's playing well and who plays in these tournaments. And our freshman team this year had a great season. We've got some kids that are a lot like these my varsity guys that they love to play golf. That you'll if where are they at? Probably on the golf course. And so I think we've got some more years coming, and that's what it takes. I mean, that's what it takes in football and basketball and volleyball. It takes kids to put in the time, and golf is hard to do that because you can't, you know, go play golf in your backyard like you can go shoot baskets or throw the football around. I mean, you can chip and putt sometimes or whatever, but it just takes the time to put in and go to those camps in the off season that they do offer at the indoor places. And we've got that group of kids, and that's what we had way back before the split. That was that same group. They just wanted to play golf and get better, and that's why they were so successful.
Do you think it was just a matter of time, you know, before you'd start to see this progress, or do you think the talent in the program was maybe more responsible for the success that you've had now?
Well, I think it's both. I mean, you just have a group of kids sometime that come through that just that's their thing. You know, they're willing to put in the work. I never advocate for anybody to just be a one-sport athlete, but these guys just like to play golf. It's a lifelong thing they can do, and I've seen them out at the golf course all summer long and playing in tournaments, and hopefully we have some other kids like that. I mean, I want them to do other sports as well, but the sad fact is you got to put in the time, and we only have so much time, and so you kind of got to pick and choose where you want to put your time in, and when you have that, you're successful.
Well, you mentioned your excitement, you know, for next season already. Of course, you'll have Corbin and Hunter both back. You know, they're both individual state qualifiers now. Ty Dillon and Joey Newton will also be back. You know, do you have some other kids that you think could slide into that sixth spot for you?
I do. There's some younger kids that played JV for us this year. You know, they're solid players. They just need to get bigger or stronger or just need to get more able to play more consistently. Again, I haven't seen the freshmen play a whole lot. They played some really good rounds on different golf courses, so I just think if they keep with it, keep working, we'll just see what happens. But having that core group of guys that you can count on to be out there at the golf course to say, hey guys, let's go play golf, let's go hit range balls, let's go chip and putt, that's going to bring those other guys on too, and so I kind of put that on that leadership on their shoulders in the off season, in the winter and the summer.
Well, of course, the district meet showed this year that anything can happen, but you got to feel good going into next year. You got to feel like, you know, you guys are going to end that state meet drought, don't you?
I hope so. I really had strong feelings that we would do it this year, and for whatever reason, again, I don't know why or what, and I can't explain that, and I'll think about it all winter long. What could I do different? What do I need to do different? I don't know. That's what we'll have to figure out. Sometimes you just respond as the team needs it. We were playing great all year, really thought we had it going, and then just hit the skids there at the end, and it was just one day. I mean, if we go play 10 more times, do we make it? I think we do, but it was just that one day that we didn't.
Well, it's funny how things work out sometimes. I don't know if you can draw a parallel to this or not, but of course last year in the NCAA basketball tournament, Virginia loses that crazy 1-16 game. They come back the next year. They not only, you know, get back to the tournament, but they win the whole thing. So,
yeah,
you know, maybe that'll work out for you guys.
Let's keep our fingers crossed, right?
Well, hey, Mike, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's STANBROUGH, at iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.